Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 41 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we wanted to talk a little bit about something you see couples talking about a lot, which is growing apart. And I think that people in long-distance relationships and non-distance relationships experience this kind of in different ways, but also in very serious ways. I think, you know, we've had messages from people who are in long-distance relationships who are concerned, feeling like that they're growing apart as a couple. And that's a really easy thing to worry about when you're in a long-distance relationship, because it can feel like you're growing apart really easily, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you are apart. Like, you're far away from each other. So it's really easy to feel like, oh, maybe when they get a little bit busier, or maybe they have, you know, some obligations going on in life, or something else is dividing their attention from being as focused on you as it normally is, you can feel like, oh no, what's going on? Are things changing? You know, are we growing apart? And sometimes people can just grow apart in a long-distance relationship. It's a lot to maintain. It's quite challenging. People can get a bit down about it and can kind of withdraw inside themselves.
I think with long distance, there's also the element of like out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. Like if they're not physically present, and you know, it's very easy to, once someone's actually not around you, you can be distracted with other things. Whereas if you're living together, I think the growing apart's much more of a, you know, it's not a physical thing because they're there. It's your interests change, or your feelings towards that person change. It's like, in a way, it's much more brutal. And I think a lot of that comes from possibly taking them for granted. Like, you just get used to them being there, and it's like, oh yeah, they're there, and this is what they do, and I'm going to do my own things now, and kind of forgetting to reconnect. Or I think the big one's also people growing differently.
Yeah. I think that's something that people need to kind of ask themselves if they're starting to be concerned about this, is, are we growing apart or are we growing as people? And sometimes that can feel like a bad thing. Like, well, it can feel like when you're growing as people that you're growing apart as a couple. And that's not necessarily always the case. But I think the really important thing to be aware of and remember is that when you're a couple and you're together for a while, things do start to change anyway. And that's normal and that's natural. You're not always going to be in the honeymoon period. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, where in the honeymoon period, you know, it's maybe a bit more physical and just dreamy googly eyes. Once you get out of that, it doesn't mean that things aren't still amazing. Your connection gets deeper. You begin to know each other like no one else knows you. And, you know, intimacy really becomes a big part of it. So I think, you know, people in that transition might be thinking, oh no, we're growing apart. But really, your relationship could just be transitioning.
Yeah, and I think people, like, let's, if we talk about marriage for a second, people think about that vow as, you know, I promise to be with that person, yeah, to be with them and physically stay with them. When actually, I think the commitment's much more about you promise to make a life together, and being with that person includes, you know, you have a responsibility to you and them to grow too. I don't mean that in a way of like, you have to just do everything they want to do and you give up all autonomy, but it's, you know, if you're still the same person at 40 that you were when you were 20,
that's not good.
That's not good. It's not good on you, and you can't really be surprised that your partner feels like there's a bit of a disconnect, because, you know, they've hopefully got 20 years of growth and development in there. And it doesn't mean you're not the same person at all, but you should have grown and developed and, you know, had some change in interests and whatever.
And I think, yeah, I think we're always the same person. Like, I was listening to an interview with, I think it was Steve Madden, the shoe designer. And he was saying, you know, I don't believe we grow old. Our bodies grow old. He's like, I'm a 61-year-old man right now, and I still feel the same way in my head as I did when I was 10 years old. Like, we are always, you know, unless something kind of maybe drastic, extreme happens, we're still the core who we are, but our drive changes, our ambitions, our dreams, our interests, you know, we evolve.
Hopefully our opinions and things change.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, life shows you so much, even if you're not directly involved in it. You know, the things happening in the world today should influence you and make you think about your opinions and change some and things like that. So, like, do I feel like you're the same exact person you were 9 years ago when we finally met in person? No, you've changed, grown in a lot of ways. You're still the same person. Your values and your personality and you know, all those things I loved about you are the same. But, you know, like, you've matured in a lot of ways. Your style's quite different. You know, the way you dress is different. Like, you know, it would be weird if you were still the same as you were when you were 23 years old.
Yeah.
Because you're 33 almost now. Like. Yeah.
So the commitment that you make to each other, and okay, if you're not married and you haven't done the vows, the commitment principle's still the same. It's not just about, you know, I promise to love this version of you, and then when you change, I'm going to change my mind. And, you know, you should be on this journey of development together, and interests are going to change, and that's okay. And you can grow apart and have different hobbies and different interests and have time away from each other doing things. But it's about the core of the relationship is what you're working at. And you have to ask yourself, am I doing my bit to uphold the bargain here? So you might be thinking, you know, my partner's changed and that's not fair, and you can really project that onto them, mm-hmm. that they've changed and it's not fair, and he made a commitment or she made a commitment to me that, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, the love is still there, but your side of that bargain isn't to just love that version of them that you met, and it isn't to just stay static throughout life.
Yeah,
you've got your part to play.
I totally, and I think people sometimes think that, I mean, we've all seen, like, these charts and memes and stuff, and it's, like, how you think your journey's gonna go, and it's, like, an uphill thing.
Straight line.
Yeah, or uphill or straight line. And then it's, like, how it actually goes, and it's up and it's down, and it peaks and it's valleys. Like a stock market. Yeah, and I think people probably think a relationship is gonna be really like that, but when you think about this, you've got two people, so then you've got two lines on this chart. And people grow at different rates, and people sink at different rates, and very rarely are you both at the same exact place in life, even though you have the same life together. Like, you may not be in the same frame of mind, you may not be in the same physical fitness shape, you may not be, you know, earning as much in your jobs as each other. Like, you know, things aren't always going to line up, and it's really important to know that. And also it's important to know that if one of you is way down here on the chart of where you want to be and one of you is way up there, that's okay. The one who's way up there has a responsibility to try to pull the other one up.
Mm-hmm.
And those places will continually change. You know, sometimes it's you pulling me up, sometimes it's me pulling you up. And mm-hmm. it's not just a, you know, A to B. We got married, and then many, many years from now, we die old and happy. There's a lot of shit in between, and a lot of it's up and down. And there may be periods, you know, in your relationship or marriage where you do grow apart a little bit. Maybe that's because one of you has a new demanding job, or one of you staying at home with the children, and that's really demanding. And yeah, your relationship is going to, for lack of a better word, suffer or be affected. But it can all be temporary. You can bring that, you know, it's what you put into it. You can bring it to be what you want.
Yeah, and, you know, anyone who's sort of got this expectation that it's going to be easy, or that the agreement is only while everything stays the same, like, I mean, hopefully no one has that opinion, because it's ridiculous. I mean, even if you were, just as soon as you have children, that's going to change. You know, as soon as you have a job that suddenly takes up slightly more time, that's going to change. It's all going to change. And, you know, like you said, if we don't change fundamentally, then the commitment you made is to love the fundamental part of that person, not everything surrounding that.
Yeah.
Not, you know, oh, I promise to love you as long as you were home every night at 6. It's like, well, you know, things are going to change. Maybe they can't be home every night at 6. Maybe they've got a job that requires more. Maybe they've got hobbies and interests that have developed, you know. All that's going to change. And but I saw something on Twitter the other day. I don't know how I found it. I sort of stumbled upon this post from this guy who apparently doesn't believe in marriage and long-term relationships. And he was saying, and I don't fully believe it, because he was saying, oh, I've got 15 married friends and they all tell me they never have sex, and we're never, you know, this is proof that we're not supposed to have long-term relationships and marriages. I think maybe that sounds a bit extreme, that all 15 people that he knows don't have sex, but I think that actually the principle of what you're saying is you do hear that quite a lot. That people say, oh, I'm not getting married because the sex suffers and stuff.
Mm.
And I think the evidence is against that. I think one of the things I've also been seeing is sort of study after study showing that men in particular who are happiest and most fulfilled are married or in long-term relationships. And because there's this sort of men have, I think men in particular have this idea that we're like incredible, like, you know, we can get anyone we want, we'll have all the sex we want. But the reality is most men are average. You're not going to have sex on tap if you're single, like, you know. And so there's going to be frustration and a lack of fulfillment in that. And but there is still the conversation we had of, you know, when you're having sex with the same person for 10, 20, 30 years, like, there's an amazingness that comes with that. But it's also true that you're not going to have that same spark after 30 years as you're going to have on day one when it's fresh and tingly. So that takes sort of commitment and...
You make me tingle.
Yeah. Well, the tingle is going to be there. But you know what I mean? Like, that sort of... Because you haven't got that nervous apprehension at the beginning and all those little other emotions. What you have instead is like this incredible connection and familiarity. And but it's different. And, you know, it does require a commitment to keep pursuing things, doesn't it?
And yeah, and I think just on kind of sex, when you've been together for a long time, I think, you know, everyone's sex lives are so varied and people have so many different, you know, a wide range of interests in the bedroom. You know, some people like to use toys. Some people like get really in their bondage and safe words. And some people are very happy with, you know, what a lot of people call vanilla. But, you know, all of that is absolutely 100% more than okay. Great. You know, whatever works for you as a couple and makes you feel, you know, really aroused and everything is great. But I do think that as you've been together longer, sex can be a great way to ground the two of you. You know, if you are often, you know, you've got demanding jobs or you've got kids or, you know, one of you's going through something, you know, like, you know, I've had periods of anxiety and depression, and sex can be a really great thing to bring you back to, oh yeah, God, like, I just love every inch of you. And
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every, that one little inch, it's just great. That's a joke. But you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a great way. It's kind of an, I know, I mean, sex isn't all that matters by any means, but it is a great anchor for your relationship. And let's be honest, it's one of the first things that really excited you about each other. You know, like, in the early days, you know, sex is completely thrilling. So I think that, you know, if you are going through a period where you're feeling a bit like, you know, life is pulling you apart a little bit and you need to fight to maintain things, you know, look at your sex life, you know.
But I think the big change with sex is, you know, in the early days, it's probably more spontaneous and it's possibly much more frequent because just the whole emotion and feelings of the relationship
are different. Pheromones and everything.
It's all very different at the very early stages. And as time goes on, you have to have the conversations around, or if not, you know, maybe you don't have to have the conversations, but there may be more of a...
effort and planning.
Yeah. And conversation about, okay, well, should we try this? Should we try that? Or, you know, life's getting busier now, particularly if people have children. It's, you know, quite a lot of people have success in scheduling it. You know, so they know when it's happening. That makes it easier for everyone involved if it works for you. But I think where people might come unstuck is expecting 5-10 years down the line that it's gonna be the same as it was at the beginning, because life just changes. And I think the big problem people also get is routine. It's like, okay, well, it's Wednesday night and we go upstairs at 7 and we do 10 minutes of missionary, 2 minutes of oral, and then it's back downstairs. Like, you know, if you're finding yourself in any variation of a routine, that's probably not gonna keep everyone very happy for very long.
No. And I mean, that being said, like, you know, you said people have success with scheduling it. So that might mean that, yes, okay, every Wednesday and every Saturday are our sex days. But that shouldn't be we do 10 minutes of missionary and we do it's okay. Maybe throw an outfit in this time or maybe throw a toy in this time.
Do you know what a good idea? I've literally just thought of this. We might do this ourselves now.
Oh, but might we?
We, ages ago on Instagram, we shared this picture of the little pot we've got. And we each wrote down like 10 things we wanted to do. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily sex. It was like you had like hold hands in there, and it was basically
you had like make hot cocoa and watch a film.
So basically, we'd each whenever like this jar or the pot was just put in the living room, and then we could just pick out one thing at random. Say, let's do this today. And it has to be mutually agreeable, of course. But it was a fun little way of doing something spontaneous and new. You could have like a little sex version of that. So you could say, right, well, Sunday afternoon's our scheduled day, but each week or every 2 weeks or whatever schedule that you decide, you take one thing out of the jar, and it could be like wear an outfit, watch a porno, do it against the window, like whatever, you know. But each of you can put in 5-10 things. And then that would just help keep, rather than being like...
And this is the thing, is like, it doesn't have to be... I think when people think about spicing up sex and to keep yourselves close, it doesn't have to be a huge, dramatic, like, you don't have to reenact a porno. You don't have to do big old role-playing if that seems weird to you.
And I think also, maybe through porn or I don't know, but I think these days there's probably much more conversation around, does spicing up mean involving someone else or... going dogging, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, spice, and it doesn't have to spicing be. Spicing it up just means different from what you normally do. So that could mean...
It doesn't have to be intimidating. It doesn't have to be something you don't want to do. It could be something you enjoy, but you just don't really think about that often.
It could just be getting, you know, some flavored massage oil, you know?
Going to a hotel.
Could be going to a hotel. It could be just, you know, using...
Or it's all about you one day, and then it's all about them the next
time. Or just taking a leaf out of, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey books, like the first one where he uses a silk tie to tie her up. Like, you don't have to go out and buy loads of expensive, like, contraptions and things. It's just doing it a little bit different.
So you could say, okay, well, Sunday, 2 o'clock, that's sex time, but, okay, well,
each day it's a bit different.
Yeah, but, you know, okay, it's your turn to take something out of the sex jar. You know, that could be a way of spicing it up, and I think we should do that. I've excited myself.
I think we do a pretty good job of...
Yeah, we do. But, you know, we're both sort of aware that it takes... Things change over time. It's not. I think some people could easily get offended.
Well, I think also, and I don't know if... I don't think this is unique to us as a couple at all, but I think it is unique to couples who have been together... Maybe not a long time, but for a little while, a couple years maybe. You know, not being afraid to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
And that might mean, oh, you know, put me in this position, or, ooh, touch me there, or kiss me here. Or it might mean, put on that outfit, or
I
want to watch this porn, and I want to reenact it as we're watching, you know, whatever.
And I think this is what gets easier with long-term relationships, because at the beginning, there's, like, judgment or fear of judgment involved. Like, you know, if you're on date one and you're like, you might not be... saying, oh, spank me, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Because this person...
You're getting to know each other still.
Well, this person's... Yeah, if it's a one-night stand, they're largely a stranger, and if they're not a stranger, but it's your first time or your first few times, then it's just very different. Whereas after, you know, we're on the cusp of a decade here, and it's like...
Do this, do that.
There's not really much fear of judgment and stuff there, because...
Well, I think also, you know, in early days of... a sexual relationship, you're kind of like, you know, you don't want to come across as to this or to that, and you almost feel like the sex has to be great just naturally together. And it usually is at the beginning anyway, because you're both so fired up all the time. And then as you get to know each other, I think in a lot of ways, okay, maybe it's not as frequent or as spontaneous, but I think the quality of it can get loads better.
It's something you can't really explain to people who have never had a long-term relationship. Like, the sex changes, and, like, the emotional connection's different. And also, like, there's not as much pressure. Like, if we have a bad session, like, we've had a couple where we've just started laughing.
Yeah, like...
Like, what the fuck is happening
today? Have we not done this before, kind of thing?
And that's okay.
Sometimes
your proof's
just off.
Because you're not like, oh, no, she's going to go and tell all her friends at school that, like...
Oh, no, God, we're not going to tell anyone about that.
Whereas it's just like, oh, right, well, we'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah,
or,
new days coming.
Or we'll finish another way. You know, so it's just there's familiarity and comfort there in a really positive way. And this episode wasn't supposed to be all about sex, but I think everything we've just said also spills over into every other aspect of the relationship.
Well, no, but I think, and I think that, you know, we're really talking about an emotional distance in a relationship if you're growing apart. But all I meant is that, you know, sex can be a great way to ground you as a couple.
Yeah, but what I was going to say was that everything we've just said about it, like, you have to put more effort in over time, and maybe, you know, that little jar of potential sex ideas. We did that outside of sex stuff. We
it wasn't just, it was sex and non-sex stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't specifically for the bedroom. Yeah. It was, like you said, let's have cocoa and watch a film tonight. Let's do this, let's do that. The point is that, all that stuff applies in the bedroom, but it also applies just in your relationship in general. And it's, you know, that's a pretty good technique for doing something that you wouldn't normally do to avoid the monotony of come home, sit down, watch Netflix, or whatever it is you do.
Yeah.
You're also allowed to have your own hobbies. You're allowed to have changing interests over
encouraged
time.
Encouraged, too, I would encouraged, say. Encouraged, yeah.
And then you just have to still make time for the relationship, and you have to still consider how that relationship is growing. And if you, you know, I don't want to say it is a job, but if you sit down for a minute and take the same approach to it as you would your job of, okay, you know, how am I doing? And I say this, I think people are more worried at work. Like, oh, is my manager think I'm not doing a good job? What can I do to increase my chance of promotion? If you just sit down with the same sort of honest approach and think, you know, am I there enough for my partner? Or am I doing what I promised to do? Am I doing what I should be doing? Because it's too easy to blame and say, well, let's go back to this. I'm not getting enough sex because they're not giving me enough sex. Where maybe you're not getting enough sex because you're not making yourself appealing enough. And I don't mean that in a physically attractive kind of way. I just mean, are your actions such that your partner's feeling like, yeah, I want to have sex with you?
Do you know, I stumbled across an article this morning, just kind of randomly. I was scrolling through my Pinterest stuff, my feed, and I found this article that said something about, like, it was like 10 things that men need to hear from their, you know, female partners. And the article was all about how there's so many articles directed at men for what your wife needs to hear, or what your girlfriend needs to hear, or whatever. And there's actually not much of an emphasis on the things that men need to hear. And I think men traditionally, and, you know, this might be being a bit 1950s, but, you know, they're traditionally the breadwinners. They're traditionally the ones who, you know, maybe feel a lot of pressure to, you know, make sure that everything in the household, while the women do tons. I think men are just programmed to feel like they're the leaders of the household, whether they are or not. Maybe they don't earn as much money as the woman or anything. But do you know what I mean? Like, I think men are just programmed to feel like they need to lead and they need to protect and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, men don't often get the praise that they need. And something in there that stuck with me was, like, you know, you're talking about, like, being there for your partner. And one of the things that they said was, men aren't great at communicating, and so when they do open up and when they do kind of share, like, something vulnerable, something bothering them, like, it's really important that the woman says, and women find it fucking sexy when men open up or when men apologize. It's not even the act of apologizing, it's the act of, like, just the communication that, like, I'm admitting, I'm understanding, I'm self-aware. But that's a fucking turn on. And so I think that, just on a note, kind of a side note from what you were saying, like, both partners need to be there for each other. And in doing so, you do make yourself more appealing. But also, it's up to your partner to let you know, I really love that you did that. I love that you did that. And it makes me want you more, kind of thing. And that can be a driving factor, communicating what you love about each other. And I think it's so easy to get caught up on what each other's doing wrong. And we're always telling each other that. Like, how often do we actually, as couples, say, you're doing a great job with this lately. It's exactly what I need from you, and thank you. And I think those are all things that can help you from feeling like you're growing apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, that was just a little thing that...
No, but it's totally true. And, you know, we've both acknowledged it and mentioned it, that we still thank each other.
Constantly.
When you cook dinner, like, I thank you for it.
Mm.
If I clean the kitchen, you thank me for it. And yeah, it's not a thank you, like, oh, this is such a rare treat, you know, I'm so grateful for it. It's just a little acknowledgement that
you've made my day easier.
Yeah. Or that you're just grateful that something's been done for you.
Or for the house, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, literally
it's trying the gestures, you know.
Every time we do something, and even still, you know, we've been married a long time. If Rich takes me out to dinner, then I thank him. Or if, you know, even if it's his birthday or I treat him for some reason, you know, it's thank you. You know, nothing is expected in our relationship. Even though we have high expectations, it's not expected, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, we know that it's not a given that people do things like this for each other. And One last little thing I wanted to back up to was, I think particularly couples who were long distance and no longer are, I think when you finally get to be together all the time, you feel like you're making up for lost time. And I think that we, and probably that was, it was driven by me at first, were guilty of this, where like we built everything around each other when we first, like when I first moved here. And it was almost like, oh, I don't want to see anyone else. I'm making up for all this lost time with you. And then when maybe, like, probably the first thing that you did was you joined a band. Mm. And then that took you away from me a little bit. And I was like, oh, actually, you know what? It's kind of nice to have an evening to myself where I can read or get stuff done around the house or just sit down and watch shitty chick flicks or whatever. And I think it's just be conscious of that, because if you've built a life for the two of you where you're together all the time, naturally life is going to change that at one point or another. So it can feel like, oh no, we're growing apart, but you just need to look at it in kind of a healthy attitude. Like I mentioned, like, oh, this is actually really nice. Now I can, what things do I want to do? What hobbies do I want to try out? You know, I can do that. But I think growing apart can feel worse if you've built your life in such a way that you're constantly around each other all the time.
Yeah.
That's not always healthy. It's good to have your own space and your own time.
Yeah. You are to be a good partner to your partner, but your first responsibility is to yourself. And this kind of ties in with what we were saying in the previous episodes about your partner not completing you. You still need to make time for your hobbies and your interests and your development. And then you just have to come back to relationship. And as far as growing apart, it's recognizing when that might be happening and having the conversation, or the conversation may not even be needed if you're recognizing it and then able to make the adjustments. Or,
well, the conversation might be necessary, but it doesn't have to be a big dramatic, oh my god, we're drifting apart. It can just be like, hey, is everything okay with you? I feel like we've been a bit isolated lately. Do we need to regroup? I mean, that's all it really needs to be. As the first thing. And if it's, yeah, actually I'm really unhappy with you, then obviously it needs to become different type of conversation. But
yeah, and obviously this is also very, very different depending on what stage of relationship you're in. If you're in a marriage and you're years deep and you've established love and trust and all that, and this is just, oh, you know, this isn't really what it used to be, and
I mean, we've all seen that in our parents, I think.
Yeah, but that is something that, one, you probably want to salvage, and two, something you probably can salvage, and it takes a bit of effort. And I think, you know, don't let pride and whatever get in the way, or bitterness. Just always think, like, you know, what made me want to be with this person in the first place? Remember that and then take that forward. But if this is a new relationship or you're long distance or whatever, and actually what you're seeing are just red flags, this person isn't that interested in you, isn't very interesting, and it's just generally, actually, this is hard work to get off the ground, that's very different. That's like, that's red flag of, is this worth it? So, you know, have a very different outlook on growing apart when you're established and years into it and brand new, and actually, is it just a sign that you two aren't as compatible as you thought? And I think with long distance, that's particularly important, because
it's hard with long distance too.
It's hard, but it's so important, because what you can actually fall in love with is not the person, but the idea of that person. And because they're not around, you can build up this image of them in your mind, and then you can convince yourself that's who they are. And then because there's so much time where you're not talking and you're not together, when you have the conversations and, oh, actually, yeah, you know, he was kind of a dick tonight, when you hang up, you can then just tell yourself he's on an off night, because you've brought up this image of them. And you have to be very honest with yourself about that.
Yeah. And that can be a hard thing to do when you're trying to make a relationship work. Like, it can be really hard to be, like, honest and matter-of-fact with yourself. But yeah, I think it's, like I said, it's recognizing if you're growing apart or if you're growing as people, which can sometimes make it feel like your relationship's growing apart a little bit. But yeah, I think that's probably a good place to wind things down.
Okay.
Yeah. If anyone has any questions or topics that they want us to cover, you can always reach us at on the website, longdistancemarriage.com, or probably Instagram's the best, and that's at Mr. Mrs. Distance. Same on Twitter.
Yeah. Until next week.
Yeah. Bye-bye.